I like that it's recycled. I like the color. I use it about once a week to go to the laundromat. I've got like 5 or 6 or 7 of them under my...
Oh, these are the blue things downstairs. Yeah. I thought it was what he was wearing.
No, it's the blue bag. I have like a bunch of them.
We bought one of those.
Yeah, no, we bought 2.
It's a practical bag. It's stylish. It has like, you know, yellow and blue. So that works well. Yeah, it's cheap. I use it for carrying art stuff as well because I'm an art student.
It's pretty useful. Right now I'm using it to like just store a bunch of clothes in my closet, yeah.
Big and disposable. Yeah, I think I have 2 I use for laundry, something like that.
It's hard to believe that a $1.49 bag made entirely of polypropylene could be so influential. So much so that in 2017, Dimna Vassalia, the creative director of the famed French luxury house Balenciaga, introduced a $2,145 version in leather that set the internet ablaze. I'm talking about IKEA's Fracta bag, a tote we've all carried for practical purposes, but somewhere in its 30-year history became a muse for the fashion and design worlds. I'm investigating the bag's origins, its appropriation by the fashion world, the resurgence of everyday totes, and its continued popularity to get to the heart of how the IKEA bag mysteriously became one of the most relevant products of our time.
You're listening to High Snobiety's Why It's Cool. On this episode, Sachin Bola will be talking about the IKEA bag.
Whether you're a student or a set dresser, a film editor, or run an art gallery, its practicality is what speaks to everyone. But when IKEA first designed the bag, was its intention to create a reusable product that could double as much more?
The bag should really be able to carry whatever you can imagine. That comes back to this little story about when they were testing the bag, when they were asking a woman in the office who weighed about 50 kilos to stand inside the bag, and then the guys were lifting it from both sides, and then he was holding this kind of ridiculous testing that we do with every product that we have. But the bag was, it did hold, and it did pass the test.
That was Ina Vuorivirta, a Swedish designer who is part of IKEA's in-house design team and who's been with IKEA for 3.5 years. Before I probed into the origins of the bag, I began with a question that seems like the first logical thing to ask. How do you pronounce Fracta?
Fracta. Fracta bag. It means carry, basically, in Swedish. It does carry things. So it's called Fracta.
Officially known as Fracta, and colloquially as the IKEA bag, it was conceived by designer siblings Knut and Marianne Hagberg, who have been with IKEA for over 3 decades, and who are tasked to reimagine a simple, affordable alternative to a shopping basket.
The story of the blue bag, it started actually on yellow. It was in the late 1980s when Ingvar Kamprad, the founder of IKEA, noticed this basic need for the customers. Many other companies have solved this problem by offering like hard plastic baskets or these metal shopping carts. But just because Ingvar was being Ingvar, of course he was sure that there would be a better way to solve this problem, a more IKEA way to solve this problem, when he made a trip to China and he discovered these rice bags. Especially he was interested in the material for the rice bags. And that was the brief that he brought back home to Sweden. And that was something that the two of the designers back at the iOS started to work on. And that was basically how the bag was born.
While the world is preoccupied with the blue bag, fun fact, the yellow one was the original version and one that wasn't available for sale. Which means if you see anyone carrying the yellow bag outside of IKEA, they've, well, stolen it.
The bag started off yellow, and it started as a shopping bag that you get when you enter IKEA store, and then the one that you have to leave also when you are checking out and paying for your things. And people just really started to like the bag so much that they started to steal it. But that was also something that we at IKEA noticed, that people were really willing to get this kind of hard-working bag home to themselves. So it wasn't actually that hard jump from the yellow bag to the blue ones.
Talk to me about some of the most memorable ways you've seen the bag actually being used.
Well, everything from the little clutch that I own that I got from my friend who made it himself. On the motorbikes, you see sort of like this integrated umbrella that's integrated to the motorbike. So those I have seen quite many that people have been sewing out of Fracta bag. And the shape of that is quite weird also, because it's not this circular thing. It's more like an oval-shaped thing, so that it continues above you and covers the things you have on your back or something. Absolutely, and I think it's always so nice to see these daily hackers that do expand the product so much. For me as a designer, it gives so much inspiration.
Its undeniable practicality, versatility, and affordability democratized the IKEA bag and made it a household item. That, coupled with its visually recognizable design, set the stage for some of the world's most revered creatives in the fashion and design world to approach it as a blank canvas. Back at the IKEA store in Brooklyn, I explored the idea of the Fracta bag as a fashion statement with our random sample of shoppers.
I mean, I know that that's a thing that's happening. People are, like, cutting them up and repurposing them and actually making, like, real items out of them. Like, totally. I don't... Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of dumb. Let's be honest. That's
like
kind of dumb.
50-50 on
I'm
it.
I'm all for reconstruction, deconstruction, but that's... It's not a very nice blue. It's, yeah, well, it doesn't look good on
it's
me.
It's a little weird. I like the idea, but I don't think it looks that great.
Oh, as a fashion statement, I don't know. I don't think it's a fashion statement. It's just like a blue tarp. I don't know. Sorry.
I mean, I get it. It's like, it's such a familiar like object to us right now, like especially in New York, like everyone has one. But I probably wouldn't, I mean, I wouldn't like accessorize with it, you know, but I get it.
While the idea may not hold up in the court of public opinion, at some point function did give way to form. Enter Dimna Vesalia, the creative director of Balenciaga, who released his version of the Fracta bag in 2017, albeit in leather, with an over $2,000 price tag. And if you don't recall the headlines, you surely stumbled upon at least one friend parodying the phenomenon on Instagram. It was humorous, and Vesalia was in on the joke. This was 2017, a period in fashion that saw normcore fueled by irony and humor, and his creation was not only reflective of the zeitgeist, but a commentary on it, and the world was listening. If the frenzy around Balenciaga's high fashion offering wasn't proof of its success, or at least PR success, its sales were. According to Jackie Kim, the associate fashion director of Barney's New York, all units of the bag that the luxury department store ordered sold out. It was official. The Fracta bag went deluxe. So what led to the humble bag's metamorphosis? I invited Jackie to join me in the High Snobiety office in New York City to discuss.
At what point did the IKEA bag become fashionable?
I think as soon as it walked out onto the runway, the Balenciaga runway.
And what were people's reaction?
The bag itself is so iconic and familiar that it made you do a double take. And I think that is why there was so much attention drawn to it. But, you know, people gravitated towards it because exactly that. It was familiar, but it was a luxury good that people could understand.
What do you think Dimna Vassalia's intention was?
I mean,
do you think he was purposely referencing?
Of course, of course. You know, he is so playful and so intelligent, and everything he's done in the past has had a, I don't want to say a deeper meaning, but it's kind of taking something that people are familiar with and making it a little bit more twisted, whether it's cutting a shirt differently or, you know, doing like the Juicy Couture tracksuit for men, but like super skinny, you know, just taking a familiar piece, a familiar iconic piece, and making it twisted and a little deranged in his own way. And something like the IKEA bag, which is not something that I would feel everyone would immediately think of as being an iconic piece, but then to see it visually, you're like, immediately you recognize it. So there is a level of brilliance there. You could have that exact look, but it's the humor that goes into it, and it's this desire to be a part of a larger conversation that allows people to invest over $2,000 in a luxury bag. But the Balenciaga bag definitely has elevated elements to it. You know, like the entire thing is leather and like more well crafted and all of that, but it's just a very iconic and ironic thing to bring into the mix.
Absolutely. I'm curious because the fashion industry was really excited about it, or at least it generated a lot of buzz around it. How did it perform in store?
So we actually bought two sizes. We bought a blue and the extra large, which was $21.45, and then we bought a slightly smaller size, the large, in black. So obviously the black in a smaller size, it was $17.65, which is a friendlier price point. And the bags ended up tearing down to a much smaller size anyways, but we skipped out on those. In the end, we sold through everything as we expected. The units, it wasn't crazy because, you know, when you work in luxury, you're looking at much smaller units, like 10 to 15 pieces. But again, the people that are buying it are very educated. They know what they're looking at. They know why they're buying it. And so we as retailers know the scope of our customers that are going to be able to, one, afford a trendy, you know, humor piece like this, and if they can pay over $2,000 for it. So we know, and we gauged it, I think, very correctly. But it's interesting because what you see on the internet and what generates a lot of buzz doesn't always translate to these huge sales, because it's free to repost a picture, but it's $2,145 to own a Balenciaga IKEA bag.
So when you saw it before even placing the order, there was a consensus that we need this in the store.
Of course. And Barney's has always been willing to take the risk, which is what I love. And like, the merchant team does such a good job at understanding the pulse of what's going on. And they sit at the runway shows, so they see everything come down and you can gauge the reaction. And it's like this innate energy. And they're so great about immediately recognizing it. And, you know, being bold and wanting to have all of the most coveted pieces of the runway collections.
The Balenciaga bag came out in the spring of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Would love to talk about what was going on in fashion at that time that allowed something like the IKEA bag to inspire high fashion. I'm thinking of normcore, like dad shoes that also went on to become even more influential.
Right.
I'm thinking irony and humor, which you alluded to through Dimna's vision. I'm thinking of things that are maybe a little bit more political, like class appropriation. You know, what was that kind of environment that made the timing of that bag?
Right. Well, normcore in general, I feel, was a result of the maximalism of Alessandro's Gucci. There was this sudden surge to wear 500 different prints in pink and green and huge glasses and turbans and all of these things. And then every action has a reaction. And I think that trend immediately came into effect because it was very polarizing. And so the normcore thing happened. And, it was, you know, in a way it's easy to do. So I feel that a lot of designers had their take on it, but Demna definitely went one step further, making it more ironic and being more playful with it. And I think that's truly what a great designer can do, is put their spin on whatever's of the moment and whatever's trending right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's more to come?
I think there's more to come, just because Balenciaga reissued another version of this bag in fall 18. So I know that they have seen success with the bag. So of course, as a business, they're creating different versions of it that other people will still register as a coveted item, even though they're, you know, maybe they're not living in New York City. Instead, they're living in a more quieter city, and the trends are trickling down to them or something like that. But I believe that the trend will continue on at least for a little bit more, and then we'll see it again in 10 years.
It was Dimna Vassalia's reimagining of the IKEA bag that marked the very moment when the bag became a bona fide fashion statement. But that was just the beginning. Where Balenciaga's version went upscale, shortly after its release, we saw the bag take bizarre, imaginative, and ridiculous turns that included face masks, sneakers, and even a thong made from the Fracta bag. This was the Fracta bag 2.0, IKEA hacks on crack that demonstrated that the bag's creative potential knows no limits. Earlier this year, Virgil Abloh, the designer of Off-White and the artistic director of Louis Vuitton's menswear line, collaborated on a collection with IKEA that included his take on the Fracta bag, a chic brown rendition with the word sculpture on it. However, one of the most memorable of the post-Balenciaga creations is a cap, the brainchild collaboration of brands Pleasures and Chinatown Market. To dissect the continued relevance of the IKEA bag, I got on the phone with Michael Cherman, the founder of Chinatown Market, who took the call from his home base in Los Angeles, California.
Last year, Chinatown Market collaborated with Pleasures on a cap that was inspired by IKEA's Fracta bag.
Yep.
Can you walk us through that collaboration?
So we had the idea for a minute. We had the sample made. I was working with Alex from Pleasures at the time, and back then Alex was actually, you know, he had been doing some consulting for published brands. So he was kind of acting as like a, you know, in-house creative director. They actually had a hat factory in the inside of their office. And so we had made that sample, and I think that, you know, we had seen that Balenciaga went and made the, what was it, like the $3,000 leather IKEA bag. And we instantly were like, oh shit, here's the time, you know? And so from there, we dropped that product. I mean, it was just like instantly, you know, one of those moments where, just like, you know, whether it's the Josh Rita's like drawing on sneakers thing or, you know, any of these things, it's like, it's that moment where everyone's like, oh shit, I could do that too. And it just kind of inspired this like, you know, moment. But it all came from just purely, you know, experimenting and just having fun with ideas.
So you produced that sample before?
Correct. We had the hat sample prior to the Balenciaga bag, and we had just thought it was a fun thing. We were waiting when we might release it. You know, it wasn't something that we had fully thought over, you know, and so we had just had it. But then once we, you know, saw that happen, it was like perfect timing. Just like back in the day, I had done a thing where Kanye West started tweeting at Wiz Khalifa. It was like, it's like any of those kind of things. When you see something happening in the moment, there's a way to react, and we just saw that opportunity.
That's awesome. What was it about the IKEA bag that inspired you?
You know, I mean, it's just the idea of it being such a classic, iconic product. It's something that you look over constantly, but it's such a well-built product. I mean, living in New York, it was something for me that, you know, the IKEA bag was my only way of getting my laundry to the laundromat. You know, it's like the quintessential bag that we all need to have in our arsenal, you know? And so that was the kind of juxtaposition, as well as taking something that costs a dollar and making a $40 hat out of it is also something fun that can be a nod when you see Balenciaga go do the $3,000. It's fun for us to kind of experiment and play that idea of high to low.
I do think you bring a good point in terms of the juxtaposition between high and low. There is this tension between the two that works in fashion. It's this sort of accessibility with what is aspirational.
Yeah, it's kids wearing the bootleg Gucci t-shirt while wearing a pair of real Gucci pants or a shirt. You know, it's the beauty of all these things. I mean, you know, it's the beauty of the Converse Nikes that, you know, we made because the idea needed to exist, but now those things are actually tangible and kids are out there making it themselves. You know, we're not out here trying to just go make a bunch of money. It's really that we want that idea to live and exist. And so it's less about us having the glory of us being like, yeah, we did that shit. It's more about if I see 100,000, you know, 10,000 kids with these shoes that they made themselves, that they figured out how to find from a bootleg website, even cooler, because it's about the ideas having the glory, not about us.
Virgil recently collaborated with IKEA on a collection, and that included a version of the Fracta bag with the word sculpture on it. What are your thoughts on that?
My opinion of that is that I think that, you know, like everything happening out here with Virgil, it's just like, you know, it's the perfect synergy because of the fact that it's just all aligning with popular culture. And
right. I think that speaks to the success of a well-designed product if it can have that longevity.
Yeah, and it can be reiterated multiple times. I think that there's a beauty in that for sure.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about the bag?
No, I mean, just, hey, IKEA, give me a call.
We produce over 65 million bags per year. That's quite a mesmerizing number to think about. And then you also start thinking about that it's 65 million different ways to use the bag. It's quite funny to think that IKEA, I mean, it's a home furnishing company, and our biggest selling product is a bag. What is special with the bag is just that there's really nothing special. It's just the most humble, the most hardworking bag in the world. It does what it's supposed to, and it does it even better than you can ever expect. It's just a bag that never lets you down. It carries the bricks and the books, and it moves your home. It helps organizing your laundry. Probably all of us have met the blue bag at some point of our lives, so you know what I'm talking about. It just does what it's supposed to do.
What originated as a simple shopping bag eventually became a canvas for the fashion and design worlds to draw inspiration from. And it's that elusive state of a product being at once ordinary yet cool, accessible yet influential, that explains why the IKEA bag has so much cachet today and for years to come.
On the next episode of Why It's Cool, Sydney Gore explores the power of crystals and why the fashion set has been drawn to them.
Why It's Cool is produced by Sonia Manilili, theme song by Yasha Baltes. This episode is written by Sachin Bolo. Special thanks to Michael Cherman, Ina Voriverta, and Jackie Kim. If you enjoyed this episode, click the subscribe button to hear more.